Good morning. Sorry, Derek, podium. We're so glad that you're here for our Compassion Sunday. James told you that he and I'm James's wife, for those of you who don't know me, and we have sponsored Compassion Kids for, I've even lost track of when we started that. I went to a concert, as many of you went to, where someone was singing, I don't even remember who, and they showed the Compassion videos and talked about the packets and all the kids, and I went to the table and was overwhelmed at how many children there were to choose from, and I watched as people were choosing children and going through and looking, and they handed me a stack, and I looked at that and went, I can't do that. Like, pick one for me. Just pick one and hand it to me. And that's what I did. And ever since then, which has been, I don't even know how many, that's probably been 20 years ago that we did that. We've sponsored Compassion Children. We have, I don't know how many he said. Did you know how many we have? We have like 5 right now. So, and I'd like 20, but I've got 5. And that's, I could take 30, honestly. It's such an enriching, wonderful thing to do. But compassion, as you saw in the video earlier, is a one-to-one sponsorship. You know what that means? That means that you as an individual are sponsoring, not adopting children. They have parents, a lot of the kids, or someone taking care of them, sometimes grandparents or extended family, but they do have family, but one-to-one sponsorship. So you, like say with Abigail, I am her sponsor. And I'm ringing a little bit, Pat, but I am able to actually write her letters, have a relationship with her. I feel like I know her. We've actually met Abigail, and James and I feel like we actually know her. So when I write letters back and forth with her, is Abigail doing well? Pastor Wallace? Is Abigail doing well? She's a beautiful girl, very smart. I can't believe how much she's grown, but we have a relationship, and I'm able to tell Abigail I love her and I am praying for her. And that's just one of my kids, but I'm really attached to Abigail, her and her family. But it is a one-to-one relational sponsorship. So it's not like you're giving money and it's just going just to the organization. That does happen with the money, the $38 a month. It goes to the organization to provide things in the Compassion Centers. But you have a one-to-one relationship sponsorship with those children. Now, I mentioned letter writing. When I first became a Compassion sponsor, I had no idea I'd missed that. I just knew I wanted a kid to sponsor. I didn't realize you were supposed to be writing them. I had no idea. And now I don't know how I missed that. But when I heard that, when my daughter became a Compassion advocate, I heard all the talk about letter writing and the kids read those. And we've seen firsthand, right, Holly? I saw you shaking your head. Some of those kids keep these letters forever, like in boxes. They keep them and they read them over and over and over again. And when I heard that, I was heartbroken that I had not been writing my first kid. It never occurred to me. I was giving my money, my $38 a month, and I thought that was enough. But you actually are able to write letters to your child or children. That's very special. And that may be, I've got to turn my feelings off when I do this, so I may have to catch myself a couple times, but that may be the first and only time that child ever hears the words, I love you and I'm praying for you, in that letter. They are extremely important to write those letters. There's actually a box, they're different in every single one of the centers, but there's a box that they line those letters up for the kids to come pick up, or sometimes they distribute them. But it means a great deal to have those letters. So that's real important. And that $38 a month is important. And by the way, that is above and beyond your actual tithe. This is known in the scripture as an alm. It's an offering above what the baseline is, which is a tithe, 10% or 15%, depending on your perspective of that. But it's an alm. It's given over and above. It is $38. I mean, honestly, $38. Starbucks, what, how many times? I mean, I'm serious. I mean, how silly is that? Yeah. That's literally a venti and a sandwich at Starbucks, pretty much. So it's, yes, it is. Yeah. But it makes such a difference because they're able to take that money and they're able to provide some clothing, food. These kids, for some of these kids, the only meal they eat in a day is at the Compassion Center. And that provides for that. So that's there. Okay, third thing. So we've got the, it's a one-to-one sponsorship. It is, letter writing is extremely important. Hear me. If you sponsor a child, you want to be writing letters. And you can do it online now. It's real easy. You just pull up your computer, log in. If you haven't done that online, y'all need to be doing that online. It just takes away all the sit-down and preparation. You can just do it right there on the computer and add pictures and stuff that they can see. And then this is done through the local church. Now, I don't know about you, but that's one of the most exciting things to me is it's not, I'm not the hero. I don't want to be the hero because I'm not. But I can give $38 and it makes the local church, Pastor Wallace's church there in Kenya, that church is the hero. So those families come to the church and they can see the love of Christ because that church has been empowered to meet the needs of those children and the families that are there. That is so cool. This organization is not about being the big deal. They want to make the local church the big deal and in turn makes Jesus Christ the big deal in these families' lives. And let me tell you what's happened in India. The government has pulled Compassion out of there. It is heartbreaking because for some of those children, the only food and clothing and love they were receiving was through their Compassion Center. Those are shut down. But you know what's still there? The local church. So the local church is still able to give spiritual support and love to these families, but they have shut us out. Compassion is no longer in India. So please, everyone pray that that changes because it is ridiculous that the government of India has decided that it's not helpful to have food, clothing, and shelter provided for these kids. Another big thing, if you are sitting there thinking that you get tired of giving your money and you have no idea where it's going, there's an organization called Charity Navigator, and they rate organizations. Compassion, for the last 10 plus years, has been at the very top, if not the number one, rated charity organization, nonprofit, that is helping in foreign countries. So if you're giving your money to anything else, let me tell you something. Compassion gives the money you give goes to the local church and the ministry that you intend for it to go to. And when you give money for birthdays or Christmas or whatever over and above your sponsorship money, that goes 100% to the family. So when you are helping a child, you know what? You don't just help the child, you help the family. And you know what happens when you help the family? It helps the community. It helps the neighbors. It can literally infect in a good, positive way the entire neighborhood and community around that child. So you're not just helping the child. And your money is going to something very worthwhile. Okay, and then something I got from Tiffany that's really great. Tiffany's my daughter, and she's a Compassion advocate. She wanted to be here today, and she just simply could not. But Compassion is Christ-centered, child-focused, and church. I'm almost can't talk. My throat is so dry. But Christ-centered, child-focused, and it's church-based. So it is completely Christ-centered. It is child-focused. That's what the whole concept is, to deliver children from poverty in Jesus' name through the local church. And it affects everyone around. So what you've been given is hopefully, I don't see anybody looking at packets. James Knight, were those given out? Okay. Please feel free. Thank you. Please feel free. It's been a long morning since 3 o'clock this morning. Oh, thank you. Please look at the packets. You don't have to take those. I'm not trying to guilt you into taking, sponsoring children. That's not what we're trying to do. So if you have a packet and you don't want to pass it down. If you want one, pick it. These are kids from KE33, which is Pastor Wallace's home church, where our Compassion, our first partnership is with Kenya. is at that church. All these kids are from there. So if we go back again, we'll be able to see these kids. Every single one of them. If you sponsor all these children, I have more on a website that we can go to. But if you don't want the one you've been handed, and or you've got plenty, you don't want to do it, or you have no interest, that's fine. Just pass it along. But I need those packets back. Do not walk off with those packets. Okay? I need you to come back to the table at the back, and there'll be people back there to help you fill that out if you don't understand and answer some questions. But if you don't want them, that's fine. Drop them back at the booth or back at the tables. Okay? And now I'm going to introduce you Pastor Wallace. James already said something about him. We love him and look so forward to hearing what you have to say to us. Amen. Come on up.
Lovely. Amen. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Good morning. Amen. Can we give a mighty hand clap to the Lord this morning? I'm glad I'm here. I bring you greetings from our church in Kenya, the House of Prayer, where I have been the pastor for a while. And when they saw me coming, they said, I bring you greetings and say to you, thank you for supporting us to bring up the building you've seen there. Not only that, the children that you are sponsoring for us. Maybe my English might not be well to you. They say your Swahili or your English is not better for me. So, thank you. It is by coincidence that I came the day of compassion, because that's where my heart is. How we started the compassion before it came, we started through street children in our church. At our church, there's a railway line where the street children could come and stay and pray there. When they are hungry, they don't take bath. They are there all day without food. And we thought as a church, we can take them on Saturdays and be coming and we feed them. We can wash, take bath at our church, wash their clothes and stay with us on Saturdays. As we went on, they went on adding in number. And we went on giving ourselves as a church. And finally, as we are doing that, thank you for joining us to do what we are doing today. May God bless you more. Amen. Also, I want to thank the family of Kevin and Mama Law. We don't have They have been so kind to me. Those days I've been here, I'll be leaving tomorrow. And I'm very thankful very much. Also Dan and others that have been with me between the week, I want to say thank you. And a lot of all, I want to say thank you very much, Pastor James, who is my partner. We married and we had to cut a cake. So we are one. And what God have joined, nobody can separate. Hallelujah. I have a word for you today. And I say it's by coincidence that my message goes together with this day of compassion. The power of seeing. That's my message. When I gave my church to my son, God spoke to me and told me, your work is finished in the church. Go out. It took me time to go out. But he pushed me, go out. And I had to go out. So nowadays, I'm working with the prisons, also to the elderly, and also to the needy. That's my work. I've written a book, as you have been told, is the outside. Let's go to our Bible in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 30 to 35. I've tried to break it into pieces that you may read and you follow me. It's a story of a good Samaritan. And it spoke about the neighborhood. And I want to say a neighbor, in English, it says a neighbor who is next to you, the house next to you. But in the Bible, you can be a neighbor here. You can be here and have a neighbor in Kenya, in Australia, in everywhere. And that's why we have compassion. So I want to say those who are sponsoring, they are our neighbors in Kenya. You get me what I'm saying? You are our neighbors in Kenya. I'm also your neighbor here in the U.S. The Bible says, we do not see things as they are. We see them the way we are. We all don't see the same. The way you are, the way you see things. If you see defeat, you are defeated. If you see victory, you are overcome. What you see is what you eventually see. You learn after what you see. And that's the life of today after today. The power of seeing is a liberation piece that will illuminate your eyes, sight and spiritual eyes, to see deeply. And that's why today we are speaking about those children, speaking about our life with Jesus as we see more deeply. My question is, what will it cost you when you see, when you go to the divine detour or to the long detour? It will cost you. And that's what I want to speak about today. What costed the Samaritan man? Each detour has its consequences. And I've given an example of Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they had consequences to be chosen and to be removed to the Garden of Eden. And they had to go out and work for themselves. But before, God every afternoon was coming to stay and to say hi to them. But because of wrong detour, God didn't come back again to them as he used to do the other days. They had the right detour. And because of that, the earth produced thorns. Before that, the earth was producing water from ground, but because of their long, it started raining. That's the consequences. And the other consequences of good detour, that we are going to suffer for Christ. We are going to give for Christ. We need to fast for Christ. We need to humble ourselves because of Christ, because of the good detour. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's go now to our chapter about the Good Samaritan. It says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he fell into the hands of robbers. What did those robbers do? The Bible says, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him dead. This man was coming from Jerusalem to Jericho, where he met these crazy people. And the Bible says in verse 31 that the priest, that is a worshiper, a God's man, a servant of God, when he passed there, he happens to pass going downtown to the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. Because he saw, and what he saw is what he was. He saw a beaten man, full of blood, left naked, because the Bible says they took all the clothes. He was naked. But he passed the other side. He left the man beaten, ready to die. He did nothing. Verses 32. to a Levite, a man of God, when he came to the place, he saw him pass on the other side. He did nothing. Two people seeing the same thing, they did nothing. We call it the long detour. In verses 35, but, you know, when the word but comes in English, it means seriousness. It means ready to do and ready to go. But a Samaritan, as he was traveling, came where? And this word where is very important to us. We always come to do things, and you do things when you come to where. If you don't come to where of yourself, you stay or live doing nothing. When we want God to heal us, we go where he can heal us. We go where he can answer us. We go where it's called prayers. We go where we read the word. We go where there is worship. And this is why you are here, and we can go, we call here where. Where can I be heard? Where can we fellowship? Where can I meet God's people? Here we are, it's called where to us. Hallelujah. Unless you get where, you never make it. Unless you get where, you remain idle. So he got where the man was. Even the less, they were there, but to them, it was not where, because they didn't see it. It comes to where when you see it. You cannot to where at the dining table when there is no food. But you can go to where the dining table where there is food. I need that water. This is my water. I want to thank God when I came, I felt down, but now I'm strong. Amen? This family have taken care of me. I want to see when you take light detour, what it costs. This man came where the man was. Even those two, they passed where the man was, but they were not there. And where the man was, and when he was, when he saw him, he took pity to him. The thing he did, he was naked, he was beaten, he was to die. What he did when he got there, he had pity. As now we are saying about compassion. And the Bible says, he went to him. So he had not to pass the right or left. He passed at the center of the need. And we need to pass always to the center of the need. He passed to the center of the need of the beaten person, left naked, without anything, but he felt, I'll go there. With the history, it says that the press, or let me go back to Kenya, we have in our roads, we have hot spots that always the accidents. They are called hot spots that take care when you get there, you can do any accident. And that place is where people are beaten. In our place in Kenya, there are areas that you cannot pass by night or pass yourself alone. Somebody is waiting there. So you have to go to or go where it is day. So this place was dangerous. But this man might be no. But this man, when he came, he leased himself and he stood. The Bible says, when he saw him, he went to him and bandaged his wounds. So in his pocket, he had carried his own bandages for himself, for his journey to where he was going. But when he met a man beaten to death, he had to take his own bandages and bandage somebody that he had pitied to and he didn't expect. So, lightning tour does not cost. It is only to surrender and be left empty. So he did whatever he had and he gave his own bandages and he loved that person that was beaten. The other thing he did, he poured on the oil. The oil was for him, was not for this man beaten. But when he got there, when I'm calling there, he took out his oil and he used his oil to pour for this beaten person because he got there. Are we together? Amen. You remember the other two guys? They didn't get there. Maybe they had better, more bandages or more wells, but they could not spare their what they had because of a man like that that they saw. The third thing, he used his oil and also he had used his wine to clean the woods. Then he put the man on his donkey. The donkey was for him to ride. But he had to come down and walk and give his donkey to somebody else he didn't know, was full of blood. He has bandaged him. He has used his oil. And now he is giving out his donkey because of the light detour. It costs. And this is why we need to be costed. God was costed through our sins. Because of our sins, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. When he detoured to us, he met us and saw our sins. He gave his only begotten son because of our sins. This man gave his donkey for somebody else. Because he had pity upon him. Sometimes I have had people preach about this message about the good neighbor. But when I see it myself, I see it in another dimension. Not only a neighbor, but taking the light path. Not only that, I ask myself, how heavy was this man beaten? How many kilos he had? Because he could not ride himself on the donkey. It is this man, the Samaritan, had to lift him and take him on the donkey. We don't know the weight of the beaten person and the weight of the good Samaritan. I know he struggled a lot to take that man on his donkey. And it might be his donkey was full of blood. But it might not be so because he had already bandaged the man and washed the man. Maybe he was clean. Thanks for the donkey because it remained quiet to carry a beaten person. Even a donkey means congratulations. The other thing, he took him somewhere that he could sleep, stay, eat, and take care of him. That means he didn't go where he was going. If we had to go for a day, he didn't get there that day. If he was waited where he was going, he didn't reach where he was going. Because he lives to a place called where. And because he lives in a place called where, it stopped him to reach the destination of where he was going. And he has to spend the night with a beaten person. He didn't know either the name. He don't know the relatives. And the beaten man had nothing. And whatever he had given to him. He had to spend the night and take care of him as the family love Kevin the night. They've been spending the night with me, seeing that I'm well till morning. Thank you very much. In the morning, he saw the man now is better. He has to leave. What he did in verses 35, he took out 2 silver coins and gave to the owner of the hotel. So now, from all he had, now he goes back again to the pocket to spend. Now this man also is becoming bankrupt because of what we call detour. Do you know what he said? He said, when I return, because he thought, he was not sure how much to be spent. It seems he left the man still in that hotel. He didn't know how much to be spent. So he said, let me go, please. I beg you. But when I come back, I know I'll get something where I'm going. And when I come back, I'll reimburse for the extra expense. So he went to a debt. He went to be empty because of something else, somebody else. And that is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. Hallelujah. Not only that, I want to illustrate a bit about this. When I look in our Bible, there is a woman that anointed Jesus. This Bible illustration, if you go to John 26:6, Jesus anointed at Bethany by a woman. And the Bible says the perfume of the oil she used was worthy 1 year wage earning. And she went and bought and brought to Jesus and broke the whole thing and poured the oil to Jesus' feet and started weeping there and cleaning the feet of Jesus with her hair. She saw it is better to do it. But when she was doing it, in that house, there were people that they had not reached where. When she reached where, she went and did whatever she did to Jesus because she had missed a place called where. These people were disciples of Christ. And the Bible says the whole house was with a good smell, like nyama choma, you know, the roasted meat. You can hear roasted meat being outside and you can follow what is going on. But they say it is bad. It is a waste. To them, it was a waste. Can you see? And to her, it was good. And to Jesus, it was good what he did. This is the way we see things. I remember I went to preach in one of our tribes in Kenya. I had been telling my brother. And we went to preach there, but it was by night. They stay outside. They don't have houses to live in. They cannot accommodate them. And because the missionary there called the villagers to come and see us and meet us, and I was one to speak the word of God, it was about 8. And we sat outside. Even I could not see who and who was there because there was no light. You speak to people you don't see. You don't know what they are doing, but you say, hallelujah. I don't know who either they are there or they have gone. But I knew they were there because children were chasing each other within. They could not wait. So I knew the men are still there. And It made me to know they are there because as I preached, they were murmuring. My interpreter, I asked my interpreter, what is going on? The interpreter said, continue. As I preached, Jesus loved the word, a new man, you shall go to heaven. Even your children shall go to heaven. Even your wife shall go to heaven. Heaven is good, it's for us all. The more I preach, they say, What is going on? Preach. Then I continued to preach. After preaching, we went to the house. The missionary asked me, Wallace, do you know why those men were murmuring? I said, no. But there were a lot of murmuring. I was worried when I was preaching. It's because you said me, women and children shall go to heaven. And men, we are saying, if children and men, and children and women shall go to heaven, they are not going to that heaven. They don't want heaven where there is children. They don't want heaven that there are children. They want heaven for men. Is a tribe in our country, Kenya. They don't heaven. They don't want heaven with women. They used to travel. They carry their luggages with donkeys. If the luggage is not heavy, the woman will carry, not a donkey. Better a donkey go without anything, but a woman go carrying something. That's the way they see, and that's the way they are. The way you see, the way you are. How do I see the kingdom? How do you see the kingdom? How do you see your calling? How do you see you can stand with your church? How do you see when it is being spoken about the compassion? How do you see about that child is crying somewhere? How do you see it? The way you see is the way you are. Let's see somebody called Stephen. That is Acts 7:53-60. When Stephen was being stoned, what he saw, Saul, who is Paul, was the one in charge of being Stephen stoned. And what Paul saw is to beat Stephen to death. And in fact, he was there studying for people, good men to work, beating Stephen and saying, do it. Do it. And the young man had to beat Stephen until he died. But the Bible says, but Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Amen? What Stephen saw is Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Do you know in the Bible, there is no any other verse that says Jesus studying. The other all verses say Jesus seated. But this one, when Jesus saw what was going on with Stephen, he stood to meet the faithful servant. Can you put your hands together for that? Amen. He stood to meet Stephen, who saw, because he had reached where we call where, he could not be worried. That's the payment. That's the consequences. In John chapter 1:9, John the Baptist had not met with Jesus. John was 6 months older than Jesus. And John went to the ministry before Jesus. But Jesus knew where John was baptizing and working. And when John saw Jesus, he said, and he looked, he said, look, the Lamb of God. He didn't see him as an ordinary person. He saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The other verses say they saw Jesus as the brother, as a son of Mary, as a son of Joseph the carpenter, as a brother of A, B, C, D. But John saw him as the Lamb of God. That's the power of sin. May God help us to see according to our salvation and our calling. In John 6, 1 to 15, Jesus was feeding the 5,000. There was no food. People had followed Jesus, and he felt that he needed to give them food. And he asked where they can get something to eat. The disciples said, there's no food, there's no market here. Even if we have money, there's no supermarket that is enough, or a store. We call the supermarket here food store. There's no food store here we can buy. And one verse, one of the Bible says, chase them away. One of the disciples said, chase them away, let them go. Jesus said, no. They are going to faint on their way. But between, there was a small boy with two fish and five breads. And Jesus took the breads and breaded them. And the balance was 12 buckets. And there's always this understanding, who took the 12? Somebody said, preached to me in our conference in Kenya, said, the disciples, because there are 12, they took each one. When we finished our conference, I met the pastor, was from here, US. I told him, I don't think what you said was right. Because the apostles were saying to chase those people away. Who got there was the boy, because it's the boy who gave. So maybe Jesus took from two fish, five breads, multiplication to two, but I said God, Jesus gave the boy. Because it's the boy who gave. Apostles were complaining, no, chase them away, there's no food, there's no way. I don't know how Jesus could reward them. As I finish, men of God, there's a good story of Goliath and David. Israel and Philistines is a big story. The whole chapter from verses 1 to 58 is about two people and two tribes. And there's a way that David saw, and there's a way that Goliath saw. Goliath saw his power, his dressing, and his hate, and the followers. But David saw the heart of the Almighty God. And because of that, David won the war. Because he saw what was the light. And Goliath needed only one stone. And the balance, he had five stones, he was left with the balance of four. Because he saw by the power of the mighty God. When we always see what we see by the power of the mighty God, you'll be using less and remain with more. Amen. Because the Bible says The heart that giveth, it receives. We give as we pray. You can pray for one. Spend your time with God, and God will give you abundantly. And may God bless His word. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Amen. As I finish, maybe you are here and you have not reached where. And you might like me pray with you. I pray with you. If I had not reached where to start helping the street children, maybe I could not have compassion. But because I reached where I was struggling, I didn't apply, I didn't do anything. Even I didn't ask for that building. But when Pastor James came, because I had already myself reached there, he saw the need. And he said, just do your calculation and tell me how much it will finish that building. I done my part. Amen? And I did. And the money sure. Hallelujah. I spent that money wisely. Until when Pastor came, he said, I didn't know it will be this way. Because the house was printed. It looked as he had spent a lot of money because he gave somebody who had reached there. There are some people who are given money, they put in their pockets because they have not reached there. But because I had reached there, I spent what I had in hand properly. Maybe you are here with us. I want to pray with you in the name of Jesus. We all be blessed. Is there somebody we can pray with? Let's bow our hands and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you and to give you praise and glory. And Jehovah Almighty, I want to speak a blessing to the church. The church that has passion and compassion. The church God is carrying burden to others. A church, an example of a good Samaritan. The church is spending all until they are in debt. For the purposes of the child in Kenya and other countries, I pray their blessings in the name of Jesus. I pray for those that are seated here. The Lord will get there and see the need of their hearts, of their families, and the church also. I pray that your hand, God, will reign in the church, reign in our hearts, and the glory of God will be with us and now and forever. And I pray your grace, God, be upon us all. It is in Jesus' name I pray, and we say, Amen and Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Pastor, for a very simple yet profound word. As you see, so you are. You know, the priest and the Levite saw the man in the ditch as a nuisance. They saw him as someone that was getting in the way of their agenda, and so they went to the other side. It determined who they were by what they saw. But when the Samaritan came, he saw a man who was a person, a human being who needed help. And because he saw him that way, what did he do? He got in the ditch. You know, when you think about Compassion International, you can see these as children that are 7,000 or 8,000 miles away that perhaps you'll never see, that will never impact your life, and so you will decide, well, then I'll just ignore this. Or you can see that child as a human being for whom Jesus died, who has no opportunity to know Christ outside of Compassion, has no opportunity to better their life and become a person in their community who's able to impact their community because of who they are for the cause of Christ. And if you do that, I think you can see the value of investing about $38 a month. Because if you invest, if you impact one child, this is what Compassion says, if you impact one child in a family who is able to come out of poverty and know Christ, then that child leads the family to Christ, and that child raises the economic level of the entire family. It's not just the one child, but because their families are so enmeshed, and so they're so committed to family that if a child moves out of poverty, then he or she goes back to move their family out of poverty and lead them to Christ. And generationally, this just goes on and on and on. And all it causes for us is $38 a month. But first of all, you have to see that child as an instrument of Jesus to further the kingdom of God. And I pray that you will. We do not guilt, because we want you to do this long term. Laura and I have been sponsoring a young girl in Guatemala for almost, well, I don't know how long it's been, but way, way, way back. And we have our young girl in this project that we've got to see. And we went into her little home. And let me tell you, when we say a home of a compassion child, you have to understand, you have to translate in your mind what that means. The typical home of the compassion child is about 8 or 9 feet wide, and about this deep, and an entire family lives there. An entire family. Often husband, wife, and 2 or 3 children. Sometimes it's a single mother with 2 or 3 children. That is their home. It's a dirt floor. Has one little bare light bulb that they give light to the entire place. There's a curtain that separates a bedroom from the living room. The children sleep in the living room and the parents sleep in the bedroom, which is basically just a bed. So when you see that, when you see it that way, it makes a world. When we say a home, what do we think of? We think of 3-2-2. No, no, no. This is not about 3-2-2. This is about dirt floors. This is about 60 feet, 60 square feet that an entire family lives in. And we have the opportunity not only to raise them out of poverty, but to bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And impact an entire family, and impact extended family. What an unbelievable privilege that is. That's my compassion sermon. Thank you, Pastor, for that lesson. As you see, so you are. Let me mention a couple of things. First of all, do not leave this building with those packets. If you do, we have no record of that child. The record of that child is lost. We have to have that packet. So if you're interested in sponsoring a child that you have a packet, go back to the table. Laura will explain to you the process, give you the paperwork. If you don't have one of those packets, but you want to sponsor a child, go back there. We will help you do that. But please do not leave this building with that packet if you have it in your hand. It has to go back to the table, or the compassion loses all contact with that child. So that's very, very important. Also, the pastor's book about this subject, as you see, though you are right back there, all the money goes into the ministry that he is doing in Africa. So if you'd like that, I'd like Pastor Wallace, if you would, to go back right now and stand by that table. I think you'll even sign your name on those books, won't you? Will you authorize? Am I talking too fast? We want your autograph on the books. Okay, you will sign for him. Okay, all right. Good. Obviously, it's okay. Remember our Easter service. We're planning at 10 o'clock on Easter Sunday morning, having one honking big service out there on the grounds, unless the weather does not allow us. You've got to have to stay in touch with us about that week, or we'll go back to the two services that are here. And, you know, it's crazy when you've only got one eye and you need to put reading glasses on to be able to see out of the one eye. Hold it. What are those things? I need to get me a monocle. Is that what I need? I need one of those. Okay. What was there? There was, for the next 2 weeks before Easter, I'm going to be teaching on the principles of prosperity. Be here. The principles of prosperity. God bless you. Some of you smell a rat, don't you? Okay. God bless you.
He's coming on the class. He's Stop the Lord.